Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Eagles fans, and hello, Tampa, Tampadelphia, Philadelphia, and all points in between. Tampadelphia Paul here on a Tuesday night to talk Eagles after last night's incredible victory over the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. Boy, what an ending to that game. Are you one of the ones that went to bed early? But you feel pretty bad, right? Actually, I went to bed early, too. And I caught the game on replay, as I always do, because for me, that's the best use of my time. I am not a guy to lose a half hour before the game or a half hour after the game, plus the 3 hours that it takes to play the game. So it's a total of four. If any of you have any driving in there or anything else, it commands a big chunk of your day. So I'm a replay guy, now you know. And I'll tell you what. What a game we saw last night. If you just watched the replay, you were still impressed. You didn't get to see every pass of the ball, every handoff, or every tackle, but the bottom line is you know how it ended. You know who was there. And that means a lot because the Eagles that finished the game were not the Eagles that started the game. And for that, folks, we have reason to rejoice. There was a big thing that happened last night, and, well, let's talk about that. If you've got something to say, I know you're out there listening. I see the numbers every week moving up. More of you are tuning in. I don't know why. I don't have anything prolific to say. But if you want to call, please do. 657-383-1614. I'll give it to you again. 657-383-1614. Make your points. The microphone is yours when you do call in. You know, the purpose of the show here is to help us see the game in a little bit of a different way, maybe think about it in a different way, after we see it in a different way and stretch our thinking a little bit more past that for future events that will affect the players, the team, or our success. A lot to say about that because a lot of the value of what we're going to mention here tonight is about that. It's about the stuff that's coming up. First of all, I should tell you that today I was kind of at the start of being under the weather. Coughing, sneezing, not really coughing, but sneezing yesterday. And as many of you know, I am at a major hospital in Tampa Bay a couple of days a week. And I'm around it. I am one of the all-access people that go everywhere, with the exception of some wards. And I'm around the coughing, the sneezing, the hacking, and hospitals are probably the germiest places. And although I mask up and often wear gloves for biohazards and other labs and other things, safety precautions, I'm still there exposed in the circus of it all. So today was one of those days where I thought, oh, no, just let me get some extra sleep because I had a real short night last night, as you might expect. Like 5 or 6 hours sleep, that's not really good enough, especially in rugged weather where the seasons are changing. But anyway, back to the game. The team that finished the game was a far cry from the team that started the game. The team that started the game was the same old problem children that we had before, where these guys were You know, it's like they were sipping embalming fluid. I mean, they had no life, no energy, no passion, no heart, no drive. And football, as you know, is a game of the heart. You got to put the other guy's ass in the dirt. And they didn't seem to have that drive. Not the Eagles lately. Carson Wentz looked horrible. Everybody's blaming Carson Wentz for his inaccurate throws. And we all know about the injuries, and we all know about the loss of Frank Reich and some of the other guys that helped our Super Bowl success. And we also know about, I guess, the big picture of all the different maladies that are up against the Eagles right now. But, 17-3 at halftime. Doug and guys go in the locker room for their 12-minute halftime break. Somebody says something to someone. And I don't know if Jeffrey Lurie sent down a delivery boy or if he walked into the locker room himself, went up to Doug within earshot of all the players and said, win this game or there's a lot of changes, and put the fear of the riot act into those boys. I don't know if that's the way it went down, or maybe it was just something a little bit more direct and to the point, like a note that says, win or pack up. I'm a man of few words, and that's my approach typically, you know. But the Eagles came out, not that they came out firing in the second half. I didn't get to see that in the replay, but I did see the drive in the third quarter, the drive in the fourth quarter, and the drive in overtime. And what did it? The big thing? The kids. The kids. When I say the kids, I mean the three heroes of the night. Of course, I'm talking about the guys that didn't typically play. I'm talking about wide receiver Ward, running back Boston Scott, who is, I mean, a guy's a surety. He's like Sproles. He's about 5'8". He's built for speed, and brother, he showed it last night. And then finally, tight end Josh Perkins. These guys came in. They had some extra zip on the ball. The balls were placed perfectly by Wentz. These guys ran crisp routes. They took great handoffs. They played with heart. You know, you had to hit him a second time to bring him down. A lot of second effort out there. And all of a sudden, the team comes alive, sparks up. The tempo and pace of the game increases. I mean, you could see it. They were snapping a ball. They were off the ball like Marines. And these guys are, you know, they're downfield. They're hitting, banging, and everything else. They're getting into position. They're making the catches. And I'm telling you that all of a sudden, we've got our old Eagles back. This is great. Maybe Doug Peterson did something to the playbook in the second half to make it a little bit easier because the new guys were all going to be coming in due to the losses we had during the game, the injuries. Well, whatever worked, whatever brought it on, this is what we got to stick with. You know, when Nick Foles replaced Carson Wentz in the 17 season, the 2017 season, it is said that they dumbed it down so that Nick could execute the plays, understand them better, execute them to a higher degree of effectiveness. And brother, it worked. The RPO, it worked. And maybe they did more of that last night. Now, someone asked Doug that during one of his press conferences today. I hung around last night and watched some YouTube for Doug's press conference immediately after the game. Wasn't interested in Wentz. He was still too pumped up and everything was going to be a cliche. I don't bother with that. But Doug had a lot of insight. He had a lot of things to say. And he was ecstatic to be in front of the microphone with a win. I got to tell you, the relief on this guy's face was, you couldn't miss it. So today's a little bit of a different story. You know, Doug has his morning wake up, his morning coffee. He's more of the usual Doug. And he measures his words. He's a good speaker. He's a detail man, but he holds back and knows how to cut an edge so that you don't quite get it all. And there's enough data missing, but you have a trail. So he's given those kind of answers today in the meetings, the press conferences. And he agreed. He came out and said, yeah, we did do that. We did adjust some plays for these new guys coming in. The whole team realized and understood what these guys were doing when they came in. They just wanted to play ball. For them, it's opportunity. Hey, Alshon, I love you, brother. We're on the same team. You're my mate, and you're down. You're hurt. Sorry about that. But now he called me. It is my opportunity. And they did. They took advantage of that. Boston Scott was a rocket on a couple of plays. I mean, this guy had a firecracker inside his pants. He was just lighting the field up with some of his runs and plays. I think he caught for another 65 to 70 yards. But the Giants defense that had us wrapped up in knots in the first half suddenly seemed to unravel themselves. And it was the Philadelphia Eagles that put the garrote around the Giants' neck and choked the life out of that team, because they couldn't do much of anything in the second half. We did to them what Miami did to us. We had 20 unanswered points. 20. So we finished the score. We finished the game with a score 23-17, and suddenly Eli looks vulnerable. Now, a lot of you guys in Tampadelphia have been talking with me through text and calls and emails and whatever that, hey, Paul, and especially on Facebook, Tampadelphia Eagles, if you haven't found it yet. Paul, what do you think is going to happen in the game on Monday night? Well, guys, I hate to say it, but I got that Miami feeling back. I don't think that we're going to perform as well. I think it's going to fall apart somewhere like it did in Miami. And sure enough, that's exactly what we saw in the first half. That's exactly what we saw. But one of the good guys, Tom Schubert, comes along and says, Paul, we got too much. The Giants are that bad. We got Eli's number. We can win this game. It's ours for the taking. I don't think it's going to be anything like Miami. Well, Tom was right, too, in the second half. So we were both right on this one. And I'm glad that Tommy was more right than me. Because now we are tied for first. And all we have to do is just take another couple of games. Actually, two out of three, probably. To really secure the division win. It is repulsive, that only 8 wins will take the NFC East. This used to be a powerhouse, clutch division. I mean, they were all muscle teams that hit hard and took no mercy, gave none either. And now, oh my God, you hit them with a Q-tip and it's like the guy's on the sideline. Come on. Anyway, I exaggerate, of course. And if there are any Eagles guys out there listening, right. That was all for imagery, not for fact. So what else can we say about this game? My gosh, do you have anything to say? 657-383-1614. And we are done with the first 15 minutes of our show. And because we have a lot to say and a lot to talk about, we're not going to do any ads tonight. So sorry, Antipesto. And sorry there, Mr. Mark, who is the professional musician. But this is Eagles night. And I got to tell you that there were a lot of big plays on last night's game. Got to mention Zach Ertz. Just have to. I mean, the guy's clutch. He is 10 years with the team. 10. I know because I counted them on my fingers. And Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz could be closing in on a couple of NFL records, and I would like to see him get those. But I think he's had something like 42 or 43 catches in his last 4 games. It's over 10 grabs a game. Zach is just clutch. You get him near the ball, you get the ball near him, and I think Zach will suck it in, you know, kind of like a, you know, his hands have vacuum cleaners on them, and he'll just take it out of the sky. Carson Wentz, got to say a lot of good things about the Wentz man. He 11 played a good game in the second half. I don't know why he has had the shakes over the past few weeks. Actually, about a month. But Carson Wentz performed last night, and he performed very well. His passes were crisp and pinpoint, as I had mentioned earlier, and I think I hope the old Carson's back and is going to hang around for a while. Because we could use you, buddy. We could use you the next few games. And like it or not, you are a role model for the NFL. And you certainly are a poster child for Philadelphia and North Dakota. Your quality and your class adds to your image, the Eagles' image, and our image as fans. So we surely want to keep you in the game. Mr. Scott, I'm telling you, when Miles Sanders went out, yikes. And Scott scored the first touchdown. He had some pretty good stats. He finished with 69 yards receiving and 53 rushing. And they're going to notice him and give him a lot more work, I think, over the next few weeks. It's almost like we've got this other hidden team that we're suddenly bringing out on offense with a wide receiver, a running back, and a tight end, right? Not that there's anything wrong with Dallas Goedert. He had a wonderful catch late in the game. There was only one I saw on the replays. They don't show them all. But Perkins, Ward, and Scott did extraordinarily well for us. Perkins had 5 grabs for 37 yards. Ward, 4 for 34. And he's been around for a while with us. And I think Ward is deserving of an opportunity. This is how James Thrash broke into the Eagles years ago. And also Greg Lewis. And those are two former Eagles players that made the roster because they were excellent on the practice units. And they gave him some chances in game day. And they were saying, oh, you know, Thrash catches everything. And Greg Lewis, oh, my God, he doesn't drop a ball. They put him in games, and they lasted for a few years. They weren't real NFL caliber. You know, they weren't Pro Bowl caliber guys or even top half guys. But they were good bodies. They were functional, and we got a little bit out of them that we needed when we needed it. So they were they're nicely regarded Eagles, and Greg Lewis has moved on to coaching. Injuries, we got hit. Derek Barnett is out again. What's with him? Come on, Barnett. You're like 23 years old, man. You're too young for this stuff. I hate to think of it that there's a possibility that Barnett might leave the line. You know, Fletcher Cox is kind of long in the tooth. Vinny Curry is just trying to put together some good back-to-back games at this point, but he's not who he used to be. We're going to have a nice rotation on the defensive line, I think. I don't foresee a lot of change, but any change will be significant because we've got and we've been fortunate to have a squad of really good guys. So just want to mention that Barnett got hurt along with Alshon and also can't think of it, but I will. Bear with me. He'll come back to me. But there were some extraordinary performances last night, individual as well as team. Nice to see it come together at the right time. And I think that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was another one that he performed when he needed to, and he had a circus acrobatic catch. It's got to make a highlight film of all time. I mean, turned around backwards, upside down, he pulls the ball in. Nice job. Nice job, J.J. In my text, I was calling him CC Arcega-Whiteside. Of course, I had that all wrong. But you try and do two or three things at once. I was doing a radio show last night for my soccer pals. I produce the radio shows here. And, you know, just trying to carry on a text conversation while you're doing that is somewhat hard to focus. So, we're in it. We are in it. We are back in the hunt. We are back in the game. So, Alshon's, if you haven't heard, Alshon's injury is deemed significant. Doug Peterson got a medical report about it this afternoon sometime. I have not heard the result of that, but it's probably a season killer. It's going to end this season. So, what do? We've already brought back and cut Jordan Matthews 3 times so far this year, this poor guy. If they call him up again and say, hey, Jordan, you want to come back and play? I mean, the guy's got to say, yo, dude, what do I look like, you know? But he might take the bait and come back for the last 3 games of the Eagles season. He certainly would be productive immediately, which is important. But we need that. So Alshon looks like he's hurt now. Lane Johnson went out too. Not quite sure what his deal is. I don't want to say it's concussion because it may not be, right? But something's wrong. And Jordan Howard, I mean, what has started as a shoulder stinger is now in its, what, fourth week or fifth of him being out? Something's wrong with this. There's something they're not telling us. You know, Howard, maybe that's why the Bears got rid of him, is because they knew he had a medical issue or something. That, do you think that doesn't happen in pro sports? Everything happens in pro sports. The same thing that happens to you in work happens on the Eagles. So we had quite a lively and interesting game last night. Now, here's, you know, I'm always preaching about a good game day and a lot of fun, and that's what we do at Tampadelphia. We go to Mugs in Clearwater. We also go to Mugs and Jugs in Brandon, right up against Brandon Mall, between the entrance to the mall and JCPenney's is where you'll find Mugs and Jugs. And we have dedicated space just for Eagles fans. We have TVs that are just Eagles. We have food and drink specials. We have two owners of two sports establishments that are very, very, they're very delighted with our crowd, our behavior, our decorum, our, I mean, we're not choir boys. Let's get that straight. This is football. And, you know, we're guys and we still drop a few F-bombs and we still do this and do that. But it's not like, you know, you're in a bar of 24-year-olds and every other word is something that your daughter can't hear, although she probably has already thanks to guys like that. But the net result of the whole thing is that we have fantastic game days. It's all about taking care of our group. I make no money on it. Don't want to. I've been offered. I don't want to. I'm not going to prey on Eagles fans. In fact, I lose money every year. We had a marvelous trip to Miami. I lost $1,000 on the bus. That was my fault, and it is what it is. It's on me. So, you know what? Take the hit. You move on. Hopefully, it evens out. Somewhere along the line, an extra grand finds its way into your pocket in life. So, maybe that'll work out. But, Mugs and Jugs, join us Sunday, this coming Sunday at 1 o'clock. We've got a big game against the Skins. Stop by if you're going to be nearby, or even if you're not nearby, it's worth the ride. Food's good. Prices are excellent, very reasonable, and the drinks are good, and you've got a great crowd. Just walk up and say, anybody here from, whether it's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, anywhere, anybody here from, and then name your town. And, you know, I see it happen every week. People say, where are you from in Jersey? Deptford. Oh, my God, Deptford. Did you go to Deptford Catholic? Come on over here. And it's just the way it starts. So people make friends. So being in that environment, we're always kicking around what ifs. And we're always, you know, when guys start to argue, you know how the walls of the argument expand, right? The fences move all the time. Before you know it, 2 minutes later, they're arguing about something entirely different other than what the original point was, because they each want to have a last great point to stick the other guy with. But, you know, I digress. Let's go back on track with this one. Pardon me. And what I'm saying is, based on last night's game, stop for a minute and just think it through. No answer necessary. It's one of those. Just chew on it for a week or two. Based on last night's game, with three new guys coming in, tight end Perkins, running back Scott, wide receiver Ward, with three new guys coming in, they changed and modified the game plan and also the pace of the game. With this season winding down, with the upcoming changes to the team due to age, injury, or contract, we're going to lose guys, at least 12, typically about 15, actually. How is last night's game going to affect the Eagles draft? It's not too soon to start thinking about that, actually. Now's the time when you really start to think about that, or at least plant the seeds, because you know what's coming up in a couple of weeks? All the bowl games. And you're going to be looking at kids. You're going to be seeing teams during your holiday festivities, during your get-togethers, during, you know, nights out with the guys, or just grabbing a bite on the outside as you shop, whatever. You're going to see games. So don't miss the opportunity to perhaps spot a future Eagle or consider a future Eagle as you do that. So based on last night's game, how is that going to affect the Eagles' upcoming draft? Are we going to draft only certain positions and then fill the other positions of need with free agents? Or are we going to, I don't know, we're going to stay on one side of the ball? You know, defense or offense? Stop and think about this. The game was successful. Yes, because those other guys came in. Yes, we know that. And the game was successful because there were changes to the game plan, perhaps, and also the way they changed the play. Yes, okay, Doug admitted that he did that. So will this also affect the coaches? Whoa, yeah. Will it affect the coaches? Does the wide receivers coach need to be changed? Because I'll tell you, that guy came in last night, Ward was catching. So why can't the regular guys seem to catch? By the way, I think most of those misses and bad Carson Wentz things are on the receiver, not necessarily on Wentz. Yeah, you heard me right. Carson Wentz is part of the problem, but he's the smallest part of the problem. He's not the bigger part of the problem. The bigger part of the problem, in my opinion, is the wideout or the receiver, whoever was the designated catcher on that play. So based on this, these guys coming in, do we need to change out our wide receivers coach? Do we need to change out our offensive coordinator? Do we need to change out our special teams coach? Because now our kicker is getting amazingly inconsistent. He misses a kick every game. What the hell? Smack him upside his head. Straighten him out. Come on. So what do we have to start looking at? Who do we have to start considering? Obviously, we can probably, being a bottom third team now, we obviously can start to consider the fact that we're probably going to draft somewhere in the teens, I would say. My guess was that we're probably going to draft about 15 or 16. There's a lot of better teams. Well, we may draft like in the low 20s, come to think of it. But we'll see how the season ends. I'm just talking about like right now, just a kind of a rough range, nothing tight. So we're thinking about that. I'm thinking about what was the real catalyst in the locker room during those 12 minutes that got our guys suddenly productive. But the guys woke up, and that's going to be nice to see. Again, next week, let's make sure we keep that there. You know, I don't know where this game against Washington is being played. But keep the playbook open to those pages, you know, if you're staying in Philadelphia. That's what's in my mind. Eagles. All right, it's 8 o'clock. We're going to start the final 15 minutes. And I want to thank you for being a listener. I know you guys are out there. I said that before. I know you listen because I see the numbers every week. They're up. And more ears are tuned into what we're saying, as hard as it is to believe, in my opinion. But thank you. Thank you for being part of Tampa Delphia. We've become friends over these. I started it in 94, going to a sports bar with a guy and his two kids. And that's where it began. Because I had no joy sitting on my couch at home alone watching an Eagles game when everybody else was gone or not interested, right? The kids were a little too young. I could have one on my lap that would hang with me. But, you know, for the most part, kids are all energy. They want to run, play, and go out. So it's been a long time that a lot of us have been together. And I raise my glass in toast to you for putting up with me for that long. Thanks. We try to take care of each other, and we try to do what we have to do, even if it means getting our hands dirty. And that's my message to whoever tunes in that shouldn't be here. You know who you are. Anyway, let's take a look at the stats. Yes, the stats. What's going on with our Eagles? Well, first of all, let's take a look at some big picture stuff. For passing yards, the Eagles are the 18th best team out of 32, which puts us in the bottom half. And we're 13th in rushing, which puts us in the top half. And we rush about 118 yards running per game, and we pick up 245 yards per game via pass. Total production, I don't know. We're 13th in rushing, 18th in passing, but we're 19th in total yards. Now, that I don't get. We should be somewhere between 13 and 18, right? But no, we average 364 yards per game combined total of pass and run. And we're 19th out of 32. Not the best. Carson Wentz is up to 3,165 yards. Miles Sanders is our top guy. Still is 565 yards. Man, he's turned out to be a great back. I'm telling you, you know, he's heading for a record, or a couple of them. Zach Ertz, 827 yards. Zach will break 1,000 again this year. He's got three games left to do it, and he's been doing averaging over 100 yards a game. He only needs about 180. He's almost twice the production of Alshon Jeffrey. Dallas Goedert's catching up to him. He's got about 400 yards. Sacks. Brandon Graham leads the team. 7.5. Derek Barnett, 4.5. Vinny Curry, 4. My man Barnett was in there as a sack guy, but it looks like he's fallen out of the top three. Interceptions. Nathan Gary is still there with 2. Darby has 2. McLeod has 2. Total tackles combined. Malcolm Jenkins, 63. McLeod tied, 63. And the other guy, Nathan Gary, 57. It's great when you have a linebacker who used to play a different position be one of your top, be one of your leaders in two categories, both total tackles and interceptions. Nathan Gary is I'll tell you what, I don't know where we found him, but he is absolutely a pivot man. I like that. We've got some things. Carson Wentz he's completed 304 passes out of 484. And his average yard is 6.5. That seems to stay there every week. But yet he still keeps going for the long bombs, right? And I'm the guy that says, wait a minute, keep it under 10, keep it under 10. He's been sacked 33 times. So that tells you a little bit of something. That would be an interesting statistic to compare from this year to previous year and the year before that when we won, and see how that goes. For rushing, it's Sanders. I had mentioned that. Howard's in second place. I hope we get him back. Boston Scott he's making a scorecard here. Boston Scott, he's got a 4.6 average, which is the highest average of all of our active backs. The guy's got fast feet. He's fast off the line. And he's got 2 TDs already. Jordan Howard has 6. Scott is in second place with 2. Just nice to see. For receiving, guess he's at the top. Yep, Zach. And Zach is averaging 10.5 yards a catch. Wow. No wonder he gets 100 yards, right? Alshon second. I think his numbers will stay the same. Dallas Goedert's coming up. He's crept into third place. He was down around fifth or sixth. But he passed Sanders. He passed Aguilar. And J.J. Arcega's starting to get some motion. So is Greg Ward. But Boston Scott, as a receiving player, is more toward the bottom than the top. Jake Elliott. Jake Elliott is still the man scoring. He's our biggest point machine. He makes more points than any other player on the Philadelphia Eagles. One thing I want to do is I want to go back to receivers, and I want to see the averages for some of the guys when they catch the ball. When Miles Sanders makes a catch, his average is 10.6 yards. Deshaun was at 17.7. J.J. Arcega, 16.3, which is why I gave you Deshaun's stat. You can see that this guy's got some potential. Matt Collins, okay, well, he's gone. Ward's a short field guy. They use him. He's only got about a 7-yard average. But Boston Scott is also at 10.6 with Miles Sanders. So we do have some guys that can run and cover some ground. But due to either Carson Wentz or a good defense, we weren't making the catches. Maybe this week we will come out. We will flat out explode and maybe put up 35 points. Who knows? Yeah, there's some stuff in returns, but there's a name there that bothers me, and that's Corey Clement. Corey played for us for a lot of years and gave us some very, very good work. And Corey is, I think, done for the year. I don't think we'll see him back, and maybe not on the team at all. Malcolm Jenkins. Pause for a second. He's our defensive captain. He leads the D, and he is our top performer back there. He's also 32. He's going to lose a step if he hasn't already. I think he has. But when he goes, that's a big hole to fill. Who do we get? What do we do? Again, just something to think about. Safety might be our top priority this coming draft. It might be. Might be. One does not know. Well, the defense is the usual names, but, you know, the guys with the sacks and the hurries, they're the guys that that make the difference. Akeem Spence joined the team, but he's really not doing much in the way of production. Same thing with Craig James, Timmy Jernigan. I mean, these are names that I don't know. Timmy Jernigan has been around and in more games, but for the most part, our defense could use a few bodies, I think. So that's that. We have a total of 7 minutes left. I'm going to check the board and invite you to call one more time if you want to, but I know you're shy. What's left now? What do we look at now? What do we think about? What do we focus on? I mean, really, I hadn't even thought about the draft until last night's game, but last night's game showed me the value of new bodies. But new bodies that had been coached for a while, right? They didn't exactly come in cold off the street or just join the team. But we're going to need to do that in the upcoming offseason. So what's the value of last night's game in terms of the draft? What positions do we start to take a look at? What do we do with the playbook? The more I think about things, the more it leads me back to Doug Peterson, because I really believe that coaching and game calling. I don't know. Sometimes I think Doug's a good coach, and sometimes I think he really, really has got too much Andy Reid in him. And friends of mine heckle me because they say he's nothing like Andy Reid, and I say he is. He is. He does things just like Andy does. And one of the things is that he's slow to change. They said, no, he makes more changes than Andy ever did. Well, we're seeing the game from two different perspectives. And I don't wear green colored glasses when I watch the Eagles. You know, I calls them as I sees them. And sometimes I think that Doug needs to make a change. Doug needs to get rattled and shook up. He needs to do something different. I think we all do. It doesn't matter whether you're a football coach or whether you're a mechanic. It doesn't matter whether you're a mailman or whether you're a serviceman of some sort in the trades. I don't care what you do. If you're a white-collar office worker, you know, or if you're in a hospital, it doesn't matter. We all need a little bit of a shakeup and a change from the routine to take us out of our comfort zone and make us think all over again and appreciate what we have, what we do, how we do it. So that's what last night's game showed me. It showed me the value of change. Not the fear of change, the value of change. Because as you overcome that, that's when you get better. If you're afraid of making mistakes, forget about it, man. You're never going to grow. You're never going to develop. It's from the mistakes and the challenges that you learn and you grow. You have to make it a positive experience. Fortunately for us, they made it a positive experience last night. All right. According to the studio here, they're tapping on the glass and they're saying, Paul, 4 minutes. I'm just going to leave you with one thought. We had a rough spell, but it's over, and we might actually get into the playoffs, and we might actually host a home playoff game. And I think if we do that, if we host a home playoff game, I think we might win the damn thing. It's just weird that the NFC East is so wacky. Friends of mine, knowledgeable friends of mine, said that Dallas is going to lose every game and the Eagles were going to win every game. Well, we know that didn't happen, did it? At least not with us. We won. I don't know. I don't know about Dallas. I don't care about Dallas. I don't even watch them. I don't let them in my house. They don't come on my TV. They're never discussed. I couldn't tell you the first thing about them. I probably know the names of two people on that team, and that's too many. Anyway, that said, I'm going to put my feet up and grab a few Z's tonight. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had a little bit of fun and maybe got another bit of information to help your thinking with the Philadelphia Eagles when you look at the games or evaluate the players or see what we're doing. This is Paul from Tampa, Delphia, haha, saying goodnight, have a great week, God bless all, take care.